to the Film Buds podcast. This is episode number 55, and my name is Henry.
Braden.
Braden is back with us.
Yay.
Once again, after a little bit of a hiatus. Unwanted hiatus, let's say. And we also...
People missed you.
I didn't have much of a choice in the matter. So things have been remarkably hectic for me lately. So this is...
He recently developed superpowers. Yeah, he got bitten by a toxic raccoon.
Well,
tell us, Braden.
See, the South Park already went there with that title, but it'd be anyhow. Yeah, I have the power of a raccoon now.
Wait, did that happen on South Park?
Yeah.
I'm a genius.
Well, Eric Cartman had a superhero alter ego called the Goon.
I had no idea, but I nailed it.
Of course, racially inappropriate.
Yes, but I think that's the idea.
Eric Cartman, yeah. But
I only know that they killed Kenny is all I know.
Multiple times over.
Yeah.
I just can't remember whether Cartman got his superpowers from being bitten by a toxic raccoon, in fact, or if it was just one of those, like, Batman backstories where something traumatic happened with a raccoon in his past.
What? There's a traumatic bat situation in Batman?
Yeah.
What is it? What?
Haven't you seen any of the Batman movies? They always spend a good 15 minutes going through
the whole... What has to do with the bat? I know the murder stuff. His parents got murdered.
Correct.
Yeah.
And there's a bat?
Yeah.
There's a lot of things.
There's many, many bats.
What?
Well, he's scared of bats. That's why he's...
I forget the chronology, the original Bob Kane chronology, but it was something along the lines of... Shortly following his parents' death, he was in a cave and was accosted by bats.
Bob Kane, the original author?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the guy my dad... Yeah, my dad's best friend's uncle is Bob Kane.
Really?
Yeah, I told you that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, well, anyways, we should say we are going to be reviewing... What are we doing? Sorry to Bother You, which was a film at Sundance. It's now a wide release, or pretty wide release. And then we're going to be doing a retro review of... Is that one of your favorite movies, Braden?
Dr. Strangelove.
Yeah.
That's why he picked it. We literally did Ant-Man last week to try to corral you back here.
Yeah, but we failed.
Entice you, but...
It hasn't really... Things have been remarkably...
Did you see Ant-Man?
No.
Well,
it's been getting
pretty
decent reviews.
Yeah,
I might try to see it.
It's a decent time waster.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
I haven't seen much of anything. I did see Sicario, Day of the Soldado. Not nearly as good as the original.
Yeah.
Which was a shame. I don't know how much of that was the direction. I don't know how much of that was the script. I don't know how much of that was the studio. I don't know, but...
No Daniel Kaluuya.
That's preach it, you know. That's the truth. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah, we are to kind of clarify, we are going to be doing a retro review.
And I'm Chloe.
Yeah, another social satire film, which is Dr. Strangelove from 1964, if I'm not mistaken. And then, yeah, not much else that we have, because we were kind of doubling up this week just because of shifting recording dates and all that. So either way, still good to be back. What's, Chloe, anything going on with you? We have the World Cup today.
But I can't talk about it because Henry hasn't... Can you leave now?
No.
That's a good story.
Save it for later when I, like, use the restroom or something.
God. Braden, I met Armie Hammer.
When?
New York.
Okay.
Yeah. High fived and everything.
Okay. Good to know.
Braden, be happy for me.
I think he's happy inside.
No. I'm dead inside. This is a rotting husk. So.
Oh.
Oh my gosh.
Armie
Hammer would probably laugh at that. He'd probably think that was funny.
He's a successful actor, so.
Yeah.
Well.
But yeah, I had a long work day, and so I've only been able to watch just more than the first half. So
I can talk about what I want to talk about without spoiling anything.
Okay.
Even though you say that my emotive face has already given it away, but I disagree.
Okay. Well, go ahead. Tread carefully.
Well, as you can see by my jersey, I love France. Yes. Big team France over here.
She's wearing a blue jersey, yes.
We went to the Euro Cup games last time around and we were in France and everything like that, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, so my friends and I went to a bar on Franklin Street to watch the game. And I was literally, in the entire place, the only person rooting for France.
Really?
Like, everyone else is obsessed with Croatia, because they're, like, the quote-unquote underdog. And I'm like, France hasn't won for 20 years. And then my friend was like, that's only 4 World Cups ago.
Said, yeah, it has been 20 years. Shut up. It was 98, wasn't it?
Yes, I remember it well.
For some reason, I thought it was more recent, like early 2000s. But yeah, it was in 98.
They got to the finals in 2006.
Mm. Yeah.
But they lost.
Right.
To...
Not sure who they lost to, but...
It's Germany.
Germany? Brazil?
Brazil. Oh, God. It doesn't matter. Anyway. Italy. May have been Italy. Okay. Anyway. So I was the only one in the whole place. And people were booing and stuff. Because, okay, Henry knows they scored 2 goals.
Yes.
Greasy. My favorite, I say, greasy, breezy, beautiful. Like, easy, breezy, beautiful.
Yeah.
So anyway. So he scored 2 goals. And everybody went like, boo! And I was really happy. And I even brought like a little Eiffel Tower from home and stuff. And a little France soccer ball from home.
Wow.
Yes.
Dedication.
I love the sport. And I haven't been able to play it for like, come up on... a year here.
Hmm.
So I've really got a lot of energy.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I talk so much and so fast now. Yeah. But anyway, but everyone else was booing the whole time. So it really sucked.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, I was telling Chloe that part I left off at was when I just found out from her that it was Pussy Riot that
yeah
ran onto the field.
Did you see that? Did you hear about that?
Around, I think it was the 53rd minute.
No, really?
I thought it was just fans, but it turns out to be
Pussy Riot.
Pussy Riot. Where exactly did they play the last game? Was it actually in Russia, or was it Russian Federation states?
I hated it. They kept going over to Putin with his little rat face just sitting there, looming. I said, this is really killing my vibe. And he was 2 seats away from Macron, and I was like, please don't hurt him.
Yeah.
Or his elderly wife. But anyway. But yeah. And then they, serious, I think they put in their time. Like, I would, like I told Henry, I said, if I was in jail for several years for basically not doing anything, I would keep out of the soccer field for a little while. I would not do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's so ineffective.
That's Pussy Riot for you.
I admire them for their strong.
They didn't even have like a sign or anything. I guess they don't need it because
they don't need it. Everybody
everyone will look them up
now. Yeah.
But dang, isn't that cray cray?
Mm-hmm.
And then they kept showing replays, and I said, "No, we all want to see them."
Yeah, I know. I was just like, "No, I want to see them being dragged away."
Well,
that's why I was curious where they played. Is I didn't know if they. Still in Russia? They were in prison for a while, right?
Yes, I think like 3 years.
And then they got out.
Don't quote me, but...
I was just wondering why they would actually... I guess their love of Russia is and their desire to change things is overpowering.
Exactly.
But, I mean...
But dang! They were dressed as police people.
Yeah. Interesting.
I know.
Classic.
Henry, who do you think they were? Henry thought they were Croatian people.
Well, no, because that's what the announcer said at first.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, he said, and we have Croatian fans running onto the field. Oh. And so that's where I paused it, because it was almost time for y'all to get here. And so I went outside.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Isn't Greasy so cute?
Sure. Yes. I haven't paid much attention to his face.
He's so cute. I send you gifts of him all the time.
Do you?
Yes.
When was the last time you did that?
It's
been a while.
Like a week ago?
It's been a hot minute.
No, it hasn't. Anyway, but yeah. And then the French team has a 19-year-old starter.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Quite something.
Wow.
No, I mean, doesn't surprise me at all.
But I mean, he's like the star of the team.
Yeah, he's like the big dog.
How old is Cristiano Ronaldo now?
Right? 32.
32.
I thought he was earning that.
I don't know.
Nice.
How old he is. He's been around for quite some time. Well, nobody does because he's an arrogant ass.
People do like Ronaldo. People love Ronaldo. I'm like, if we're going to go down that route.
He's one of the most popular players.
If we're going to go down that route, I'm a Messi person. Messi's definitely the least annoying. Because Neymar Jr., I'm like, get up.
Have you all seen
I also like Chicharito.
Have you all seen all the parodies people have been doing of Neymar across the world?
Yeah, it's really funny.
About him falling down.
They just fall over.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That's why I don't like Neymar is, you know, okay, maybe he's a good player, but he's, you know, you blow on him like a strong breeze and he just folds like a...
Yeah.
And then he spends 5 minutes rolling around on the ground. I mean, he's the reason FIFA instituted this whole yellow card for diving
thing. But yeah, but it's been great. Like, people, there have been like crowds of people
33.
Who... 33.
They, Ronaldo?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I thought he was younger.
They all of a sudden they all just fall and start crying. Like,
yeah, it's really funny.
If you haven't seen that stuff, you should look it up.
Yeah,
it's good.
Yeah, Brayden, it'll lighten your spirits no matter what.
Well, Anything else going on?
Yes, I'm going to show you a picture of him, and then you'll see how cute he is. Okay, oh, with Brayden? Go ahead, Brayden.
I can't wait.
No.
It's just been working?
Working. About it, 6 days a week.
Yeah.
6 to 8 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Fun times.
You're supposed to say 8 days a week.
Oh, yeah. Good one. All right. Well, should we just move on to the reviews? Get to it? Oh, gosh.
So
what a hunk, you know? What a hunk.
Okay.
I wish Cooper was here. Cooper would be like, oh, yeah.
Mm. Nah, Cooper's heading out to L.A. on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
He's leaving.
He still didn't leave?
No. Yes, I mean, he's,
but... Oh, my God.
His last day at work was yesterday.
Did you see him?
Yeah.
Mm. Know who that looks like?
Who?
Harry Styles.
How very dare you? Firm disagree.
How's that a
Because Harry bad Styles thing? Is not cute to me.
He's not ugly.
That's true. Brayden. I appreciate your interest and support in whatever
I'm just,
form
I'm
it
just
comes.
Joking.
Yeah.
Brayden, oh, because you think I'm obsessed with it.
Because you're obsessed with Harry Styles.
Brayden was just joshing with
I
you.
I don't know where that comes from.
Yanking your chain.
Well, I do like his solo album, but doesn't... Whatever, just start.
Okay, well, all right, I guess we can get
I can't believe he didn't even care that I met Armie Hammer. No care.
He does care.
No caring at all. He's shaking his head no.
I think
no.
I can see it in his eyes.
No.
Brayden's happy for me.
A visual for the listeners.
No, my eyes are dead.
Brayden, if I end up marrying Timothée Chalamet, I'll invite you, and you'll be in the front row.
Okay.
Maybe, well, I shouldn't just...
I'll be, like, in fourth or fifth row.
Lifeless like a doll's eyes.
First or third row, maybe, but yeah.
Yeah. All right. I guess we can move into our review of...
You're the next
Sorry to Bother You. And we have a clip, so take a look.
Hey, young blood. Let me give you a tip. Use your white voice.
Man, I ain't got no white voice.
Oh, come on. You know what I mean. You have a white voice in there. You can use it. It's like when you were pulled over by the police.
Oh, no, I just use my regular voice when that happens. I just say, back the fuck up off the car, and don't nobody get
hurt. All right, man, I'm just trying to give you some game. You want to make some money here? Then read the script with a white voice.
People say I talk with a white voice anyway, so why ain't it helping me out?
Well, you don't talk white enough. I'm not talking about Will Smith white. I'm talking about the real deal, like this young blood.
Hey, Mr. Kramer, this is Langston from Regal View. I didn't catch you at the wrong time, did I?
All right. Sorry to Bother You is written and directed by Boots Riley and stars Lakeith Steinfeld.
Lakeith.
Huh? It's Lakeith.
It's not.
It's L-A-K-E-I-T-H.
I just heard them say it. I watched Interview.
Lakeith. That could be Lakeith.
It is Lakeith.
Didn't you say, like, McKeith or something?
No.
Oh.
He's trying to put it back on me.
All right. Stanfield. And Tessa Thompson, Jermaine Fowler, Terry Crews, Danny Glover, Armie Hammer, Stephen Yeun.
He was on Conan and he said
Patton
it was Yeun.
Patton Oswalt, Forrest Whitaker.
David Cross.
David Cross, Lily Gross. James.
Who?
Lily James.
Lily James is not in this movie.
She was Detroit's white British voice.
I totally miss that.
I thought that
was Tessa Thompson.
Yeah, no, that was, yeah, during the performance art piece, that was her.
I really just love Tessa Thompson.
Who was
Tessie.
It? The David Cross.
David
did the
Cross,
voice.
Yeah, and then
okay,
Patton
that's
Oswalt
why it was killing
was
me.
Danny Glover.
Patton Oswalt was Danny Glover. Okay, that's because I recognize the voices. I mean, I know those voices, but
yeah.
During the whole thing, I couldn't figure out who the hell the voices were.
Yeah.
So David Cross, Patton Oswalt, and who? Okay.
Yeah.
Who did the voice for the fellow who is?
Oh
the,
wait, Patton Oswalt was that guy, Mr. Blank or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Blank's white voice.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So who did Danny Glover's white voice?
Did you know Donald Glover was originally cast as Cassius?
David Cross? No.
That would be
Forrest
good.
Whitaker? I don't know.
This
Forrest
fellow,
Whitaker?
I
that was
know.
The
I'm
dumbest.
Just, I'm just reading names here.
I'm not familiar with what's his name? Lakeith Stanfield?
Yeah, he was
Stanfield.
In Get Out.
Was
and
he?
He's on Atlanta.
Okay.
I love him.
That's why I vaguely recognize
All right.
him.
He's the next Jeff Goldblum, mark my words.
Okay.
He was quite good. I liked him a lot. Donald Glover would have been good, but I thought this guy did an outstanding job.
I think I'm less for Donald Glover on this one. I think he has too much cynicism kind of seeping from him to work.
Can I?
Yeah, the little sort of snarky thing.
I'm going to read the plot synopsis. Real
okay,
quick.
Go for it.
And the synopsis is, in an alternate present-day version of Oakland, telemarketer Cassius Green discovers...
Cassius.
discovers a magical key to professional success, propelling him into a macabre universe.
Macabre?
Macabre?
Macabre!
There's an R at the end.
It's all falling apart. Oh my god. You see what I've had to deal with without
it's been,
you?
It's been a long day.
Brayden!
Macabre.
Macabre universe. So, alright.
Macabre's a weird word for that anyway. I don't think that fits as well as it could.
Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily...
I don't know if macabre is the right...
Well, parts of it towards the end, the strange people.
Yeah.
The strange people, that's a bit on the macabre side.
Yeah.
Because it's very sort of twisted, dark, strange, unsettling. But the rest of it was not necessarily macabre. It was very sort of dark, dark humor. Black humor.
Yeah.
No. Dark.
Dark humor.
That works on two levels.
No.
Oh, I'll maybe take that one out.
No. Yeah.
I don't know. Was that...
Henry could be one of those
If that was
voices.
Racially insensitive, then...
Hey, you guys.
No, it's all right.
Hey, you guys.
No, just your normal voice.
Just my normal voice?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Is it super white?
Yes.
All right.
Yours is its own beautiful entity. I don't know what yours is.
Anytime I can't listen to myself.
Everyone
on this
loves your voice.
Really?
Oh my god.
I can't
god.
Listen to myself on these podcasts because I sound too nasally.
No, you got a great voice.
Okay.
Yeah,
mine's nasally. Mine's nasally and high. That's like, oh, yikes.
Mm. Well, what y'all.
Mad.
Well, what y'all think of Sorry to Bother You?
I liked it. It took. It did, some of its chances fell flat. I mean, I forget what the other film was that we watched, and I kind of felt like this. I'm trying to dredge it up from my memory here. But it took a lot of chances. Some of them fell flat, but I thought, again, it pushed the envelope. It did something different. And I thought on many accounts it succeeded. Now, the problem is it's one of these films that immediately after watching it, rather than ruminating over it and thinking about, you know, how does this fit into sort of social context? What kind of commentary or parody are they making here? I immediately wanted to go to Google and look up everybody else's insights on the film. Which, because there were so many little things, like Tessa Thompson's character, Detroit, her performance art piece, and what that was supposed to be. I didn't much like it either. Mm-hmm. Performance art stuff like that, I think, is nonsensical.
But
I do think it's more interesting now that I know it wasn't her voice. I genuinely thought it was her voice.
No.
So now that I know that, it kind of makes more sense to me. So.
Yeah.
But I also,
So that was interesting. And I got some of it. I got, you know, her exhibit was originally on Africa, and she was having people throw cell phones at her because there's been sort of rapacious mining throughout certain parts, I think the DRC and other parts of Africa, Central Africa, that they're pulling just tons of these materials out of the ground specifically for use in cell phone. So some of that I got, but the sheep's blood and then the, what was that, bullet casings or something that they were tossing at her? And then she was reciting, what was that line from?
Oh, crap.
I'm not sure. I can't remember. I mean, well,
I haven't seen it since February.
But also,
so I don't remember. I saw it in February.
Okay, that's a very odd time to have seen that film.
I went to an early screening with Boots Riley, the director.
Of course,
yeah,
I did.
I believe
it came up. It came up on my Facebook. So I said, "Oh yeah, I'll go."
Brayden, you see that on Facebook?
I'm not
on
Facebook.
Your Instagram.
I'm not on Facebook.
Your Twitter.
No, it's Insta. Don't say Instagram.
Instagram, I know.
I'm not on the Instagrams.
No, Insta.
Oh. No, I don't say Insta.
I don't do the Facebook.
The new
the
one is Stan. If you Stan.
What?
It's like what ship was is now Stanning. If you Stan.
God, I hate things.
Stan in the place where you are.
I thought it was place where you live.
I don't know.
Stand in the place where
I don't listen to R.E.M. anymore after having spent 7 years in Athens and being bombarded nonstop with B-52s and R.E.M.
You know, Scott Aukerman and Adam Scott have a podcast all about R.E.M. Like every episode.
Pray tell why.
I don't know. No say. But it's a thing.
Well, but also with the performance art thing, I don't even really get if I was supposed to love it. Like, I mean, it's, I don't know if it was something that you're supposed to be like, wow, that's so cool.
No, I don't think so. I think,
you know,
I think there was a message in it, but I think at the same time it was sort of a tongue-in-cheek parody in a way of performance art.
Yeah.
Because that is sort of quintessential notion of what, you know, everybody thinks performance art is, you know, people who stand up in these very outlandish costumes. In Tessa Thompson's case, Detroit's case, in this film, you know, she's almost naked, and people are chucking stuff at her, and so it's like...
Oh, it really hurt audience. To watch. I, like, couldn't look at it.
Well, I mean, that's everybody thinks performance art, and they think, you know, somebody dancing out in the middle of a square, like Times Square or something like that, or it's something where they ask...
I saw an old naked lady get arrested in Times Square when I was there last weekend.
Nice.
Does not surprise me. But... Or performance art is an artist always asking the audience to participate, and usually in some sort of inflictive, violent manner like that.
Right.
So, anyhow, I thought in a sense it was a parody of performance art, but then again, I don't know. I mean, that was the problem with so much of this stuff. There were a lot of things, and I like the fact that it made me think, but at the same time, there's so much stuff, it was hard to... I almost wanted to sit there and take notes throughout the film and go, okay, what is this? Okay, I got to think about this later. Okay, I got to think about that. So yeah. It was... The only problem is that it was almost like it was trying to cram too much stuff into it.
Yeah.
That's what...
It's a little jam-packed.
It's his first feature.
Yeah.
I liked it.
And he was working on it for like 7 years, ruminating. And he wrote two... Because he's in a band or whatever. And he wrote two albums around it. So I feel like there's just so much that it did get like jam-packed.
Maybe
like,
he's got a little too familiar with it. And then just kind of kept on putting stuff in.
Yeah, it was almost like he had a lot of inside jokes with himself that made their way into the film. Exactly.
That's true.
And then there were just a bunch of little things, like the VIP room in the club towards the beginning of the film. I'm still trying to wrap my mind around that. I guess it's just the fact that this is a lifestyle that he goes in and you know, somebody bumps into him and he pours a drink all over himself and he doesn't meet anybody and there's no human connection whatsoever. Yeah. And he walks out and... So what'd you think? Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah.
It's almost as though he's enamored with this very flashy.
It's all illusory, yeah.
Yeah, lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I guess that's what that meant. But again, it's one of those things you watch it and you're kind of, for a little while, you're puzzling over it, kind of going, well, maybe I get the point, but I'm not sure, but I don't know. Then again, maybe yes, maybe no.
What do you think if you watch it again? Will that help, given the... what happens and everything?
Maybe.
Possibly.
I mean, yeah.
I think that...
Or it could be even more unclear.
More confusing.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be. With
those films.
I think a second watch would determine really how successful it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But it's I liked it. I think I would still enjoy it on a second watch through.
Yeah.
But again, it's one of those things where if I did watch it through a second time, I'd find it difficult to sit and just watch it.
Right,
I'd watch it for 5 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then I'd have to stop and I'd have to either listen to the director's commentary or I'd have to go online. And
that doesn't help, by the way. I listened to a lot. Actually, I listened to him in person because he did Q&A. I said, what the F are you talking about? The whole time, he just like very in his own head is a good way to say that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I like the energy of the movie. I felt like it had a good... Like, I mean, it was directed pretty well. That's what I kind of liked about it. It just felt energetic and had some good, interesting humor. And, you know, I mean, of course, Tessa Thompson.
Yeah, she's
lovely.
Great.
It's great, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, it was a pretty solid movie. I mean, maybe not as good as it could have been or as I hoped it may have been, but still a cool little film.
Yeah, it was
compared
fun
to a lot
watch.
Of the other summer stuff these days.
Well, now the other thing is, again, it feels... It's very experimental. It sort of pushes the envelope until the end and the special... strange people come out. That was...
Braden trying not to do spoilers are still spoilers.
It was... I really liked a lot of what he did. It felt kind of like watching Terry Gilliam film. It kind of felt a lot like watching a script by Charlie Kaufman.
Yeah.
It did feel a little
Charlie Kaufman.
I heard someone say if Spike Lee and Charlie Kaufman tried to remake Office Space...
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of, I can see that.
Definitely.
I mean, the big thing is, Charlie Kaufman's I find to be more films, his scripts, I find to be a little more introverted in that it looks at the role of the individual within the larger context of society and how there's a disconnect there. Whereas this looks more, it seemed more dysfunction of society as a whole. Rather than necessarily the individual's role with
which
it.
I'd say that's why he's drawing from Spike Lee is like that kind of, I mean, he has the kind of social satire as well as the racial commentary and satire as well as showing the issues with breakdown of society.
That's kind of where he lost me is the young black man telemarketer using a white guy voice to sell stuff and sort of the racial dynamics, the racial issues that he's looking at there, which I thought was fascinating. And then it's he just very quickly jumps tracks, and it feels as though some of these things could be explored more in depth. And he very obviously has some really interesting ideas on these things, but it just doesn't feel like he
fully
fleshes them out, or fully explores them.
I think it's a, you know what code switching is?
I've heard the term before, but...
You know code switching? Code switching is when you switch like a dialect, like your way of speaking to match the circumstances.
Oh, right. Yeah,
but then coat switching, which was like a big deal with Moonlight and stuff, is when you change your cultural way in order to be successful, and as it were.
So like, it's changing the skin, the facade that you have versus just changing your manner of speech or something?
Like, I've definitely done it. I think a lot of, because you don't mean to, and then you feel kind of gross about it afterwards.
Yeah.
So, like, that part resonated with me. Like when people are like, but mine are obviously more minor because I look kind of ethnically ambiguous and everything, but
we love that.
But it's just like, which is like a kind of a scary, not scary thing, but it's just like a defensive thing. Even
right.
Yeah.
Like when people are like, "Oh, how was your Christmas?" I'm like, "Oh, it was really good. How was yours?" Like, and I'm like, "Why did I say that, Chloe?" But it's because you're like, "I don't want to get yelled at."
I'm Jewish.
Yeah, but it's like that kind of stuff, and it really like compounds and gets bigger. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the more time you spend with a certain type of people or group of people, you can just naturally start acting more like them and speaking like them. And so
I think it's a defense mechanism because you
are
nervous in your surroundings.
Well, that's the question is, and this is interesting because it sort of speaks to one of the trailers I saw right before this film, Blindspotting, where...
Oh, that's right. People have been associating these in some way,
Yeah, Blindspotting looks interesting. I'm curious to see what sort of... reviews that gets.
I haven't even seen the trailer.
It's a pretty grim movie, but yeah, it looks, could be good or it could just be a...
Could just be awful.
What is the premise?
It's a young black man who served time in prison,
uh-huh.
who is out on parole,
uh-huh.
and he witnesses a police shooting, and he lives in sort of, obviously,
California. Oh, it sounds California. Like The Hate U Give. Except she wasn't in jail, so never mind.
Yeah.
There's a train.
But I think this is in... I think this one is also... Blindspotting also is set in Oakland, similar to... Sorry to bother you.
Mm-hmm.
But this fellow witnesses a police shooting, and then the things sort of spiral out of control from there, and he's caught in a bad circumstances, he jeopardizes his parole, or... And then he's got a friend, and the interesting thing about it is he's got a friend, and this fellow is white. But I think because he was raised in a majority black community, he has the affectations of young black men within who live in Oakland,
mm-hmm. right?
And so it's one of those questions of whether this is something, if this is how you're raised and this is the culture that you know, then that's who you are versus adopting this sort of cultural milieu. In mm-hmm. order to get what you imagine get by, sort of,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
what you think it takes to get by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so because, it's like, it is definitely like a defense mechanism, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, mostly.
Because
of the
you
time.
Never know. That's like, we never really, like, my dad, like, will not talk about being Jewish in public. Because he grew up, his
mm-hmm.
he's only one generation behind all the, World War II and everything. Yeah. And everyone's like, no, we don't talk about it because mm-hmm. you never know and blah, blah, blah. And even around here, it's like, oh, God.
You still never know. So.
So I think the idea in this. So he code switches, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the point is that he is able to do it, but he feels grimy about it. And obviously, like, I think which I picked up on because I have felt that way too, so it's not fulfilling or whatever. And he kind of, no spoilers, but anyway, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So he's not satisfied with the life he's chosen.
Because he's hiding who he is.
Not being himself.
Right.
So I think that was the subtle, which is actually an interesting approach to, like, theme in this movie. Because, like, what's it called? Ethan Hawke movie, First Reformed.
Mm.
That movie seemed more to be, like, talking to the people who don't understand the climate change is important, or whatever, they don't accept it, whatever, right? So they're talking to those people, but this movie's talking to the people who are, like, at least in part, talking to the people on the other side, like, who can adjust their behavior. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, because there's the, like, the, his, or the kind of realization of you trying to adopt a certain type of way of being or speaking, but then also realizing that yourself, or hiding yourself and not wanting to do that, but then also realizing that society, due to history and other cultural factors, writes that type of person off immediately for various things.
Like, my best friend didn't come out until college because he, like, didn't want to be like that
in
high school.
Yeah.
So it's very common.
High school sucks, man.
I like high school. I ruled the roost. Not really, but I kind of did. I was friends with everybody.
Yeah. I wasn't. No? I knew, like, two people.
What?
Well, I knew people, but...
Brayden, how was high school for you?
It was a long time ago.
Brayden, tell us about your childhood.
No, he'll never come back now.
Yeah.
I was born like this.
That's what my mom always says. I was born whole. I've, like, never changed either.
I was praying fully formed from the forehead of my father, much as Athena did from the forehead of Zeus.
So that's my mom's never said that to me, but
give it
you
time.
Never know.
Give it time.
Yes. But there were definitely a lot of themes in here. Lots about capitalism and blah, blah. Lots of relevant stuff, of course.
Definitely.
Love some magical... There's so much to talk about with this movie, which, again, like you said, is kind of a problem.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is it feels like a jumble. I mean, it had enough to really sink its teeth into with regard to racial dynamics and racial issues.
Socioeconomic and the inescapable kind of setup.
But then you get into stuff about...
our country.
Capitalist society...
I dug all of that because that is all very true.
Unionization and things like that.
It's just that there's
no. It's not that.
It's
I,
just that it's kind of like a bam, bam,
it's
bam.
It's rapid
you know?
Fire. It's kind of like, okay, now we've hit the racial thing. Now let's go on to social and economic stuff.
I don't know.
What is capitalism? Okay, now let's go on to.
I think a lot of it came in big, but then they all kind of slow burned throughout the whole thing, and then tied together in the end. But I found the end also very dissatisfying.
Yeah,
but maybe that's the. Point is it supposed to reflect, like, you try to do what you can to make society better, but then
society bounces back.
Society still
usually
turns you into a farm animal, and then you
hey, bye bye, shutting it down,
bust into the house of your evil
shutting it down. Yeah, but how about Armie Hammer? Huh? He was great. The acting was really good.
It was
acting. The artistic direction, and I love a meaningful movie. So the themes,
you love that. Mm-hmm.
Those are my three top loves of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Acting was obviously great.
Yes,
Armie Hammer killed it. Let's be real, killed it.
Yeah. Pretty good. Yeah.
He was so good.
Well, everybody was really good. Who played Mr. Boop or whatever that noise was?
Oh, he just won a big award that Armie Hammer actually presented. But so he's been around for a long time. But I also had never seen him before.
I'll look it up.
But yeah. But he was also good. Everyone was really good. Yeah, strong. But not the most feminist movie in the world, I will say.
Yeah.
And that was actually my question to him when he did the Q&A.
Oh, really?
But it's kind of spoilery, so I don't know what to do about that.
Hmm. Darn.
The crux of it was, I'll say this. The crux of it was, I think he... And he said that he put himself in kind of every character or whatever. But I'm like, I think you put a lot of yourself in the one character and...
Just a little bit in others.
The main character, I think.
Yeah.
He put a lot of himself in there, and therefore he romanticized situations, which is unfair to other characters, namely the single female character. There are two females in the movie, but one of two females in the movie. Unfair to her character. Not the way the one character acted towards her, right?
Yeah.
But her character wasn't...
As a whole.
It didn't come off truthful because we learned so much about Tessa Thompson, or Detroit, through Tessa Thompson's performance was really strong, right?
Right.
So then when this happened, it fell so wrong.
Yeah.
Because it just wasn't... I don't know if you know what I'm referring to.
I think so,
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think so.
Because I'm like, girl, this is what I said to my dad after I watched it. I said... She would call her friend, tell her friend the situation. They'd all say, what are you doing? This is completely wrong. And then it all get fixed.
Maybe her friends are...
She needs more girlfriends.
Maybe her bad... Yeah, maybe she's just in a bad place. Doesn't know a lot of
people. She's not, though. She's killing the game. She's always sure of herself.
Yeah.
And that is why this decision didn't make sense.
Forrest Whitaker's in this.
That was not Forrest Whitaker.
He's in it, though.
Mr. Bleep.
No. He wasn't Mr. Bleep. No.
Who was Forrest Whitaker?
I can't say, because it would give away
too much. Crap. Oh, well, let me see. Was he...
I'll show you in just a second.
Did he pull a Matt Damon?
Omari Hardwick was Mr. Bleep?
Oh, yeah.
Grew up in Decatur, Georgia. Omari Hardwick did.
Maybe you bumped into him once and you never even knew.
Quite possible.
And maybe you're the love of his life and he never saw you again.
Highly doubtful.
Yeah.
But possible, nonetheless.
Yeah, it was an interesting film.
Did you know those were all practical effects? Like when the death drops in?
Oh, really?
Practical. Wow. What the heck? Where is it?
The last one. Yeah. Interesting, right? Talk about weird cameos.
I can't believe that was Lily James. Did you guys say Lily Collins before?
Nope.
No.
Said
Lily
you James.
Said Lily
James?
You said Lily James. Okay. You did say Lily James.
That is crazy. Definitely a weird movie. Sometimes it did fall flat. Mm-hmm. Definitely worth the watch, though, because there's lots of great stuff in there.
Yeah.
Could have used a little editing.
Yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. But definitely worth a watch in this day and age, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely got less. And do you remember when I saw it and I was seeing next to some anti-Semites and I said, this, you brought it up last time, so I feel like I can bring it up now. They were talking about how terrible Jews are in this theater. They like thought they were super woke, but they thought Jews were responsible for all evil. I said, that's one way to, look at it.
That's one side of the closet, yeah.
But yeah, so this is... It was really meta, that experience, in this movie theater.
Yeah.
I, like, had a little breakdown afterwards, because I'd never really experienced that before.
I would have, too.
I was, like, hyperventilating and stuff. Yeah, it was crazy.
I would have, too, you know.
But, so. And
live
that,
and learn, you know.
That's kind of code switching, because I didn't say anything. But I also moved.
Should have just, like, put up your finger. Hey.
What exactly happened?
Literally, before the movie started, because it was, like, limited. You know, for this kind of thing, you get a ticket, but then there's limited seats and blah, 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 right? But so I was sitting next to two people, and they were just the one. It was just one person was talking about how Jews. What did they say? They said the dumbest. I don't know if this is good podcast for our show. I'm really sorry. They basically were saying that the entire Jewish population, according to this person, especially the Ashkenazi Jews. That's when I got scared and moved. When she knew the different types of Jews, I got scared and left. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially since that's the kind of I am.
Well,
I said, huh.
Yeah.
But anyway, she was saying the Ashkenazi Jews are in charge of white supremacists. Yes.
Brilliant
And
woman.
I said, oh, so the Jews are in charge of the Nazis? Okay. That's it. Yes. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. It's someone who's like, quote-unquote, knowledgeable, but then they still are completely closed-minded at the same time.
Yeah, well, that's the worst time.
Exactly. Sounds like they're...
Henry, thank you for
feeling
me.
Well, I don't know if that's closed-minded. Right, that sounds like high-level conspiracy theory shit. That's
yeah.
Like,
but they think they're really woke. That's why it's so scary.
Okay.
Like Armie Hammer. Armie Hammer. This movie thinks he's woke.
Okay,
wow, I found a connection.
Okay, I've completely lost. Woke? What is woke? I don't know slang.
Woke means like,
I know what woke means.
Ooh.
I've forgotten. What is it? For all the listeners out there like me.
I mean, I could take a stab at it.
Okay, you do it.
You're the...
No, you go.
Define
woke.
YGG.
Woke is somebody who is... Let me see if I can put this into words correctly. I understand it's a concept, and it's boiled down to one word, but it basically means somebody who is open-minded or broad-minded enough that they try to understand and not just sympathize, but to maybe to some extent empathize with other genders, other races, other groups that are not necessarily, that you necessarily do not as a person identify with.
Right.
On a strict basis, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yes. Like, very liberal, culturally aware people, basically. Yeah. So, but obviously sometimes it does not quite work out for you.
Yeah.
Because.
That's for sure.
But that's the thing though. I was like, I should have said something, but I didn't. So, but that is pretty meta though, that happened in this movie, right?
Yeah. That's very strange.
Freaky. But I will say, I ended up getting a much better seat.
That's good.
People, that's very strange. Thank I mean, goodness. That's like some it happens, deep conspiracy Brayden, theory stuff.
This kind of stuff happens all the time. All the time. We hear it all the time.
It's crazy. It's not surprising. Unfortunately.
Yes. But what can you do?
That's Moosies? The world we live in.
Moosies. But yeah, so anyway, so I was really disappointed with his answer to my question, and I was kind of eye roll, and I was like, okay, bye. You know?
You go.
But it's still a good movie.
Brayden. I think you buzzed.
Yeah. I try to think of it, but yeah, all practical effects, which I really appreciate. Always better. Just always better, you know?
Yeah.
And it kind of grounded this, like, super out there movie. But, yeah.
Good.
See, that's kind of my problem is I don't consider myself woke necessarily, but I try to be.
You're woke.
Well, I try to be open-minded. I try to be accepting of people, but it's just sometimes it's hard to be correct all the time. I'll just say
of
that.
Of course. Impossible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brayden, this internal grapple you're having proves you are in fact woke.
Okay. Is that all it takes?
That's yes. all it okay. takes, my friend.
Yeah. Yay, I did something right.
Yay.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. All right, anything else?
They're selling Tessa Thompson's jewelry online already.
I like those earrings.
The earrings.
Murder, kill, kill, kill.
Yeah, those are cool.
I don't like them at all, but all right. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a bit over the top, but I think that was the whole point of her character. Yeah. She was a little over the top.
She was definitely my favorite character. I also like Steven Yeun a lot.
I liked him a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm salty, but anyway. And then, what else is there to talk about? The whole, you know when they lost me, though? I know the moment they lost me.
Let us know.
The whole viral video can thing. But I also get it. Like, okay, this is the problem. This is probably the problem with me and just my general life anyway. That's where all my anxiety comes from. Everything he referenced in the movie made perfect sense as far as mirroring today's society, whatever. Right. But it was so much that I was like, oh my God.
You can't handle it.
No, it was so much. That's why maybe he didn't think he'd be able to make more movies. So he was like, let me tackle everything.
Well, I mean, because that's all in there. The kind of artist curse, because you're not sure if you're going to get discovered, quote unquote, and then you put everything into your first album or
but
first
he's already super
movie.
Famous.
Still, but still, though, yeah. I mean, lots of times
as a musician.
That doesn't always
really?
Do it.
What what type of stuff?
An
is
activist.
He's a rapper, I think.
He's not a rapper.
Are you sure?
See, that was unsettling, and I thought absolutely brilliant.
What?
The rap scene.
Oh, that was great. Yeah. That was great. That is basically like the entire. You know what? That and then the step beyond.
Yeah.
That I won't acknowledge is all very Get Out.
Yeah.
So, like, you quote unquote definitely. Respect other people, but there's, you know, the whole separate but equal kind of deal.
Right.
It's like, okay.
I thought that was brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
It's very powerful. Yeah.
He is a rapper. Lead vocalist of The Coup and Street Sweeper Social Club.
Interesting.
He's like a big deal. I guess it's just not.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like, So it's like you put everything into that first movie or first album.
Yeah. Well, I wonder.
Afterwards, you are kind of left wondering.
I wonder how much of himself, how sort of autobiographical or semi-autobiographical Detroit Tessa Thompson's character is.
Uh-huh. I think too autobiographical, and that was a problem. Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
And there was, did anybody see the cameo towards the end of the film? Who here knows W. Kamau Bell?
What?
W. Kamau Bell. United Shades of America. It's on CNN. It's a remarkable show.
No, I haven't seen that. Oh, well,
I'm more of an MSNBC gal.
Hmm.
Just well, kidding, I don't
MSNBC.
Like
them. I may know
I like
face.
Lawrence
I
O'Donnell. I do. He wrote all the West Wing.
Okay.
I like, you know Lawrence O'Donnell? Why'd you look at me like that? He's great.
I recognize his name, but I
Lawrence
know
O'Donnell is a G, but in this case, it stands for genius.
Okay.
Well put.
Oh my gosh, he was born April 1st. He's an Aries like me.
Hmm.
Maybe that's why we didn't get along.
Perhaps.
But W. Kamau Bell is a very well-known activist.
I'm sure I might know the face. I just can't think of the can't think of the name.
Very tall fellow, glasses.
But Boots Riley is very much an activist, and like his music is like quote unquote like activist music.
Yeah,
that kind of thing. So
interesting.
Yes.
So I guess that's why he's buddies with W. Kamau Bell.
I guess so.
Maybe so.
Anywho.
Maybe so.
All right.
Best cast around, though. That was a great cast.
That was a great cast.
Very good cast.
Ensemble.
Yeah.
Yes, an exactly.
Ensemble cast.
And Steven Yeun was perfect for that role.
He yeah. was really good.
Yes.
Yeah, he's been popping up in some cool stuff lately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like he was in Gemini and some other things.
Like, I'm glad they did. I mean, I get it. Traditionally, that kind of role would have gone to, like, Armie Hammer.
Mm-hmm.
But none of this time, which makes sense. Also, this set, I know how this is going to, some people are going to roll their eyes here, but Armie Hammer is like France to everyone else's Croatia. People think like, oh, Armie Hammer was like born rich, so he sucks. Like, he shouldn't be able to get anything. But like, kudos for taking roles that like go against where you are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's like, I should not be in this position. I'm going to make a movie depicting that.
Well, see, that's the thing that's interesting about him is he did Lone Ranger, he did Man from U.N.C.L.E., and then rather than
continuing on that path. He also did that Lily Collins movie too, the Snow White movie.
Oh, did he?
He played a prince, is my point. Yeah. Same kind of deal, yeah.
And rather than continuing down that path, he stopped and he's done Call Me By Your Name. He's done this film. What was the other one that he just did recently that was... Final Portrait. Yeah.
He played
this in J. Edgar as well.
He wasn't J. Edgar. He played a lot. He's played a lot of homosexuals.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. A lot.
Yeah.
Wow.
Interesting.
Good on you.
Irrelevant, but just irrelevant. It's just doesn't a surprising matter. Trend.
Yeah.
It's like how Leo always dies.
Well, that's interesting is I wonder to what extent, if he's a straight man, I wonder to what extent his portraying gay characters, gay men...
Is offensive. Don't go on the internet, Brayden. Oh my God. Everyone hates him.
Well, because Scarlett Johansson just recently gave up the role playing a transgender, I forget which way, whether man. It was a woman transitioned to man.
Transgender man.
Okay.
Which...
Because the transgender community was apparently up in arms about this.
Yes.
And I thought her statement...
people in general.
Well, I thought her statement following her decision to drop the role was very illuminating.
Yes.
I mean, I...
But everyone said a little too little too late.
Yeah.
For that.
Huh. Yeah.
You know? But it's so it is confusing, but I also get it because she... No, it's really confusing. I agree.
Well,
I'm totally lost here as well because it's acting.
It's very similar. It's very close to the whitewashing thing, which she was also caught in the middle
now
of the whitewashing.
That is a little less debatable. That was really bad.
It's one of those questions, and I think we've discussed this before, and I don't know if I necessarily want to get into debate now.
But you're fine.
Anyone wants to hear you say anything.
Well, it's one of those questions of do you get the actor because the actor is well known, is professional,
exactly,
and
yeah.
is good at his or her
yeah.
career.
Or you get someone who's exactly...
Or do you get somebody... who is perhaps less well-known, perhaps, I'm not saying this is the case, but perhaps not as professional or adept as of an actor.
Right. It's like a weird kind of typecasting.
That ethnicity or that sexuality or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, because go ahead, Chloe.
I will say, in a lot of cases, because actors are supposed to basically... empathize and then put that out as truth. So, under such circumstances, it is understandable why... I mean, always more representation is good. Like you can... Even, like, I'm thinking smaller terms. Like, even it'd be nice to see someone with, like, Asperger's play someone with Asperger's. Because then it fades more into the background.
Keep the Change. There was a film that just came out recently.
Is that the one with... Where they're in... Is that the one about the couple?
Yeah. In New York, and they both, I believe both of them have Asperger's.
Well, it will be nice to see that.
Yeah.
And I think...
And I didn't see it.
I'm fairly certain both of the main actors, who their characters have Asperger's, actors had Asperger's.
So that's probably more... So it is confusing because it's like representation versus like acting, the craft.
Let me just say this, and then I'll keep my people. But, I mean, the issue with that is I can understand if it's... If it's, in this case I'm talking about with Scarlett Johansson, if it's a transgender character, you want a transgender actor playing it. I can understand that.
Yeah.
It makes sense. I don't know if I necessarily agree, but I understand the logic and I understand that, yes, these actors should have the same opportunities that...
Exactly.
That normal sexuality, normal actors, normal whatever actors
have. Yeah, I
think
it also ties into acceptance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But the issue is...
Is that going to get people looking at it?
There's that issue.
But I think
even more than that is there's the question of if this person comes forward and portrays a certain character you know, I am a transgender person. I portray a transgender character. And then all the only work they ever get is being typecast as transgender characters.
Yeah. So that's a good point.
Well, I mean, with issue, like, because you have,
but,
like...
So, I mean, it works both ways, but it's like, if you're a white straight female, you can only portray white straight female characters.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And if you're a transgender man, you can only portray transgender men.
Right.
Yeah.
And then that
she also looks completely unlike him, the guy.
Okay, well...
there you go.
Prosthetic noses and fake teeth or something?
But I mean, because you have films like A Fantastic Woman that does have a transgender person, and that got acclaim.
Yes.
But then, and then you also have a film like The Danish Girl where there's someone playing, you know, and that's kind of, I think most people were upset with the representation.
Well, then the fact that Eddie Redmayne, I guess, was portraying
exactly. Eddie. And so, which, again, Scarlett Johansson or whoever could play that character incredibly well and get more, you know, people looking at it. But then you could, of course, have an issue like The Danish Girl where you try and do it and it fails. But then having someone actually who fits that
character,
would that make it better? Because no one would know who it is. And like what you're just saying with Keep the Change, no one really saw that. That's already been completely overlooked.
Right.
So did it actually do that much good?
Did decently to Chelsea, but nationally it was an absolute flop.
Exactly, you know. And so,
no, I really wanted to see it. I was too busy.
Yeah,
also, I think Gemma and I didn't want to sit there in case it was too upsetting for us. I think
it was actually supposed to be a very good, very charming film.
I know, but still, sometimes things are a little too cool. We wanted to be a little positive if we wanted to, so we'll probably watch it like at home.
But, I mean, the other one that I was just thinking of is Dallas Buyers Club with Jared Leto playing.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. It was transgender, transsexual. I don't know. I apologize to any of our listeners out there who...
That one I actually felt... But I haven't seen it for a while, but I felt like that... At least the character felt like it was an interesting...
Yeah.
It was an interesting character.
But that's the issue. I think that's another thing is... Or I listened to somebody talking about it, and he was like, we don't like being Oscar bait. Like, we don't like our lives being Oscar bait, which I also get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it kind of is.
It's a hard...
Well, that's the problem, is anytime there's a film like that that deals with socially relevant issues like that, the Oscar committee obviously is going to look at something like that.
Yeah, of course.
It's all confusing. Well, the other issue is... It's just because those films tend to have more challenging scripts, be more socially relevant. Not always.
I think not always,
but in most cases, it's better acting, better direction, better script writing. And so obviously they're going to be closer to what the Oscar committee is going to be looking at than something like Ant-Man and Wasp.
I think so. Often what it boils down to, like, and especially with like the transgender roles, it's like you might as well cast someone who's been through it. Like, make your life as a director, whatever, easier. You might as well cast someone who can relate
that
more.
That is their life.
But then also, there's convincing the studio that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's always the
studio should say, yeah, why not? So
there's always the old argument, if an actor is good enough, they can portray a character regardless of...
It is actually usually, as you might have noticed, I'm very... concrete in my opinions.
Really?
Etc. But this, I'm like, I don't know what to think. Because my mind also always goes to like, well, you're also implying that one part of someone's identity is that person's identity, blah, blah, blah. Like, thinking of Armie Hammer. People don't, like, my best friend's boyfriend hates Call Me By Your Name because neither of them is gay.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently. Whatever. Yeah. But, and he thinks it's, like, rude. Like, I guess.
Huh.
But, to me, I'm like, if you say that, then you're implying that these people's personalities are completely dictated by their sexuality. So it's all a big mess.
It is.
A ball gown, to use a Hebrew word. It's a very hard. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I quit.
Yep.
That's what I give up.
That's what we say, listeners,
I'm just going to keep
throwing down the mic and walking out.
I'll make stop motion videos and documentaries.
Good for you.
And I'll never have any problems. That's what I've been doing. That's what I will continue to do.
That's really cool.
Have you seen my doc? No, I'll show you later.
No. all right, well, out of 5 stars for Sorry to Bother You, I'll go 4.
Yeah, I go 4. I definitely go 4. I'm still vacillating a little bit between 3.5 and 4, but I'm going, I think I'm more towards 4.
Rewatchable.
And the only reason I would give it 3.5 is not because I feel that there are any major failings with it or it's a poor film. It's just that it's so laden with so much.
Almost ambitious to a fault.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, bear with me.
Clobo, what are you thinking?
You call me Clobo now too?
That was just a joke.
Where did Clobo come from?
All my friends call me Clobo.
Nickname. Clobo?
Yeah.
Why Bo?
Why?
Hobo, Bobo?
I don't want to say it. Yeah, it sounds hobo, really bobo. Bad. I think it is because it sounds like hobo. So okay. That's bad, but that's what they call me, Clobo. It has stuck. Nothing to do about it. But, okay, bear with me.
Okay.
Brayden, cover your ears so I don't annoy you because I don't want to ever disappoint you.
He's wearing
you.
Headphones.
Okay. It reminds me, what came to mind is like a really good concert, right? But, like, the lighting's really bad, so you can only half see what's going on. And then, like, sometimes the microphone gets muffled, so you can't hear the lyrics.
That is a very convoluted, but I think apt analogy. Sure.
Thank you!
It's not an analogy or metaphor. That's a...
It's a... I guess it'd be an analogy.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's an analogy. Okay.
Good.
Metaphors, you say... Something is something else. Similes, you say something is like something else. An analogy is comparison between. I guess it's an analogy. Anyhow, yeah. Sorry. I'm going okay. off on a
it's
total
figurative
tangent
here. Language, yes.
Yeah. Figurative, yes.
All right, well, I guess we can move on to our retro review of Stanley Kubrick's Dr. Strangelove.
We have a clip, so take a listen.
And we have a clip, so take a listen.
Is that your white voice?
Yeah. Exactly.
Dimitri? Look, we've got an acknowledgement from every plane except the four you've shot down. Oh. Oh. Hang on a second, Dimitri. He says their air defense now only claims 3 aircraft confirmed. The fourth may only be damaged.
Mr. President, I'm beginning to smell a big, fat, commie rat. I mean... Supposing Kissoff is lying about that fourth plane, just looking for an excuse to clobber us. I mean, if the spaghetti hits the fan now, we're in trouble.
Dimitri, look, if this report is true and the plane manages to bomb the target, is this gonna set off the doomsday machine? Are you sure? Well, I guess you're just going to have to get that plane, Dimitri. Dimitri, I'm sorry that jamming your radar and flying so low, but they're trained to do it. You know, it's initiative.
Dr. Strangelove, or how I learned to stop worrying and love the bomb, was released in 1964, is directed by Stanley Kubrick, and also at least co-written by Stanley Kubrick, and stars Peter Sellers... George
Peter Sellers,
C.
Peter
Scott,
Sellers,
Sterling Hayden, Keenan Wynn,
only 3 Peter Sellers,
James
Don't
Earl
be ridiculous.
Jones, Tracy Reed, Glenn Beck.
Did you say Slim Pickens?
Slim Pickens. Yep.
Okay.
And did the you plots, say Peter Sellers?
Yeah. And the plot synopsis.
How many times did you say Peter? Sellers?
Just once. And the plot synopsis is: an insane general triggers a path to nuclear holocaust that a war room full of politicians and generals frantically tries to stop. So this one, definitely considered to be a bit of a classic.
Best
definitely.
Movie ever made.
Yeah, and it's... What,
oh, real, though?
Yeah, it's my favorite movie.
Oh,
but I geek even, out even, on even that's why I went to That's why I went to grad school.
Even above Blade Runner?
It's above,
wow.
It's why I went to grad... It's playing tonight at 9 p.m.,
No, I mean, yes, Dr. Strangelove is not the reason I went to.
In Cary.
But that subject matter is the reason.
The Cold
right.
War?
Not the Cold War specifically, but the question of conflict.
Oh, so like the bigger thing. I just like the Cold War.
Well, I just don't know. It always puzzled me why people could become so hardened in their beliefs or their hatreds or whatnot. Too.
Brayden, you're such a woke romantic deep down.
Mm.
Yeah, we're slowly peeling the onion.
I just thought I was a bleak cynic. But.
No, that's okay. So this is
get
like,
a little bit of both.
This is like I tell my mom that I'm really like just an optimistic nihilist. She's like, you're not a nihilist. You just feel so much that you get sad or whatever. And so that's you too.
No, I'm just a nihilist.
Brayden and I are the same.
I just want to blow it all up. Boom.
Yeah, that's the way to go.
Down with it all.
That's not what a nihilist would do, Brayden.
Yeah, no, I just wouldn't care enough to buy
it. Exactly. They say, let me eat my potato chips.
Yeah. It's all going to hell anyways. I want my Pringles.
Yeah.
All right, well, Brayden, what's, I mean, yeah, aside from the what you're just saying, what else do you love about the movie?
Well, Peter Sellers obviously is brilliant. Mm-hmm. George C. Scott obviously
is. Isn't there a scene, if I remember right, of there's towards the end, like when he's doing his whole like arm kind of thing in the air, where you actually see someone laughing in the back?
Oh, there's a lot of, there's a scene, there's a very, very prominent scene where George C. Scott is walking through and he's motioning at the big board. He trips and falls and then pops back up. It's in the movie.
Yeah.
Kubrick just said, screw it.
Perfect.
Leave it in.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, there's so many, like, little funky mistakes and blunders and stuff.
I love the one where someone just started laughing at him, his acting, honestly, and just, it's great. Like, a little meta moment.
George, I mean, Peter Sellers is brilliant. George C. Scott is brilliant. You know, Slim Pickens is a hoot. Mm-hmm. the whole thing is just, I mean, the acting is awesome. Mm-hmm. I love the script. I mean, obviously, on a meta level, obviously, looking at all the questions about the Cold War and all of these various sort of political concepts that are now sort of, I mean, you read through any, these were concepts that I taught in some of the classes at UGA when I was teaching, you know, introduction to conflict theory and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mutually assured destruction and power, balance of power,
all that fun stuff.
Right? Yeah. So.
Did you know in Sorry to Bother You, Boots Riley had to take out a line because he wrote 7 years before where Armie Hammer says, make America great again. Shook. That reminded me of that because, you know, today there's like scary bomb stuff too.
Awkward.
But continue. Sorry.
No, but just the direction. I mean, the fact that, it's about an hour and a half of a film. Mm-hmm. And just he's able to cram so much in the editing. He just keeps it so tight.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a quick, punchy film. Bam, bam, bam. And he packs so much sort of dark humor along with these very weighty concepts. And so, I mean, it's brilliant that the film catches sort of the fear, the anxiety of the Cold War, of this sort of standoff between the Soviet Union and the United States that was occurring at the time. And he's able to package it within this humor, within sharp direction, within the acting and convey these ideas. I don't know how much he was able to reach people and necessarily instill in them the absurdity of the whole situation that we were living through at the time. But anyhow, the fact that he tried and was able to produce such a sharp film, I think, was...
Yeah, and it's one that not many other people, if anyone, can have been able to match in terms of doing that.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, many have tried.
I mean, even look at Sorry to Bother You. You know, it has a bunch of ideas. It's not overly long, but it still doesn't do it as well. Even though, of course, it's completely different issues, but...
Well, it's completely different issues, but the one thing that I'll point out in Sorry to Bother You versus Dr. Strangelove is, again, Dr. Strangelove is very, very specific. It focuses on the one issue, whereas Sorry to Bother You, and again, I like that it tackles a lot of difficult issues, but
that
at the
are
same
very
time,
related.
Yes,
to
they
be
are.
Fair.
They are. But rather than focusing on two or three and how those issues interrelate, he tackles such a broad swath of issues that a lot of his insights become a little
watered down, muddled.
Yeah. I mean, just technically, it looks great. I mean, it's black and white, and of course, it's directed incredibly well.
Yeah.
I love the look of the inside the planes, like just like the design.
Oh, he does. He does.
You know,
he does.
All the sets and everything are
Yeah, he
are
does
great.
A spectacular job of capturing how claustrophobic. I think that was a B-52 they were in.
Yeah.
So.
Your favorite band?
Rock Lobster. Love Shack. If I hear any of those songs ever again.
I hate Love Shack.
Drill holes in my ears. Yeah. Don't go to Athens then.
Okay. What about Greece?
You'd be fine in Athens, Greece. I should specify that. Don't go to Athens, Georgia.
Yeah.
Yes.
How's that?
I think my next big trip is we're going to... Oh, crap. I forgot where we're going. But there's a sloth refuge, and we're going to stay at the sloth refuge.
Well, I mean, you should just go to Durham. They got the, I think, a lemur refuge.
Yeah, Kaylee worked there for a summer, so been there, done that.
Okay, I'm just saying, we got lemur refuges.
Yeah, boringness.
Sloths! I love sloths! I love lemurs too, but Kaylee works there, so now she and I are going to.
I had a friend whose nickname for me in college was a southern sloth machine.
That's like so packed. Like, I don't even know how to. I don't know where to start with that. Have either of you watched Queer Eye yet?
No.
For goodness sake, you should watch it if you want to feel better, Bryn. Okay. Also, you should let me queer eye you, even though I don't really fit the guidelines, but I would love that. I really want to do that to somebody.
You can't portray a queer guy. You have to get a real queer guy.
Yeah, exactly.
To do the queer guy.
Exactly. I've done to my dad basically all the time, his whole life I've been alive.
Like what?
His clothes. I have literally, we've been going to like birthday party or something for someone on the soccer team, and I will literally switch clothes with him to make his outfit work. And like, he doesn't like that.
Wait, joke, and so like, the queer eye is like,
what?
Like, explain, an example. Like,
what I mean by that?
It's essentially just giving somebody a makeover.
No, it's not. It goes deep to the heart.
Does it?
How so?
Yes.
How so?
What do you mean, how so?
No, okay. No, I just...
In your thing, it's called Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, but it's not anymore. It's just Queer Eye. So you got that wrong.
Okay.
I thought it was just feeding into the stereotype that gay men have a better sense of style.
It's the opposite. You have to watch... Please go home and watch an episode. I'll tell you right now. Okay. So, it barely matters that they're gay. Barely at all. Okay. I mean, they talk about it, but it doesn't really matter. The point... They go in for a week to help someone who's struggling, essentially, really, it's emotional struggle that comes out through what they choose to eat, what their house kind of looks like now, what they wear, this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it goes out into their different outlets. But really, it's about feeding the soul to make the outside feel better and then continuing your life from there.
Well, I mean, their sexuality...
And it's really funny.
I don't think their sexuality would have anything to do with it. But the name of the show
is Queer Eye.
Is Queer Eye?
Well, because they're oh, what is it? Crap, we're fighting for. Oh no, they change. Oh crap, I forgot what it is. They still are needing acceptance. They go to like rural places. Like the first two seasons were in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Athens.
No, and then
oddly enough, Athens is completely surrounded. I mean, you go 15, 20 minutes outside Athens.
There's a place called Gay Georgia they went to. And then now the next one they're doing is Kansas City, Utah. So I'm pissed it isn't here because I'd put Gary on there in a heartbeat. They'd love him. He would get so many tears. Ugh, in a good way. You guys have to watch the show because you don't know what I'm talking about.
All right.
Okay.
Please, I beg of you.
I get what you're saying, though. They're trying to change people's understanding of
what that
homosexuality, I guess, through
just having
a human connection.
Exactly. And there's like Black Lives Matter kind of episode, all kinds of things. You got to, and it's so funny and heartwarming, and it'll really lift your spirits.
That's the kind of show that we need right now.
Exactly, Brayden. Yeah. And it is a spirit lifter. You have to watch. Please just watch one episode.
All right. I'll watch one episode. I've been watching season two of Luke Cage. I just watched season two of Glow.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, Glow was the one you said?
Season two of Glow.
I really want to see that.
It's great.
I've never gotten into Glow. I should watch
Second season is outstanding.
Really?
Because it has some episodes that deal with the whole Me Too issue and sexual predation in the workplace.
Uh-huh.
And it's outstanding.
Yeah, you're again, so woke.
It's how they introduce these things in the show, and it doesn't slap you over the head with it. It does it in a very subtle way, but it does it so that you fully understand, you are able to make that connection between what's going on and what's in the show.
Right.
One of my favorite British lady singers is in that show, Kate Nash.
Hmm.
Who does she play in the show?
She's red-haired.
Oh, she plays...
I love Kate Nash.
Britannica, I guess.
Kate Nash, probably.
Yeah.
Kate Nash is like that part of my childhood. Like, I never really went through any phases, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But if I did, she would be like that one, because she's like a little screamy and white, like over everything. In like a feminist way, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
She's like, yeah, you know what I mean?
That's another interesting one, is it talks about the whole immigration issue, because she, one of the wrestlers is...
Kate Nash.
Is British.
Right.
And she's here undocumented. She stayed well past, several years past her visa. And so there are these immigration issues that come up with it. And it's kind of a sitcom way that they decide to deal with it.
It's like,
but again, the fact that they have this very socially relevant issue within this.
Mm-hmm. still so, kind of hits
It's like the Carmichael show. Do you ever watch the Carmichael show?
No.
Can't see it.
The show's great. You should watch it.
Okay.
I think it got canceled, but it was really good.
Oh.
Hey. The two are not related, Henry.
I know. One of the... But Mary has sort of turned me on to this show called Happy-ish that Steve Coogan was in.
Oh, originally, I like Happy-ish.
I've been wanting to watch that.
Originally, yeah. Philip Seymour Hoffman was supposed to play the main character, which then he died of heroin overdose. But I love Steve Coogan. But it's a hilarious show. Very dark, very biting humor. Mm-hmm. Hilarious, brilliant. Writing's brilliant.
And Dunzo.
Steve Coogan, brilliant. Canceled after one season. Mm-hmm. Too smart of a show.
That's one of my other favorite shows
by Aaron Sorkin, which was Sports Night, which I don't even know.
Oh, yeah.
It passed two seasons. It maybe had two seasons.
I think it did have two seasons.
It's about that, yeah.
Yeah, and then it got canceled because it was too smart.
And did you watch The Newsroom, Braden?
No.
That was on for a while, I think, Henry.
It was three seasons. No, I'm just talking about Aaron Sorkin.
That was on premium cable, and I didn't have access to premium cable.
I thought it was on Amazon or something.
No, it was HBO.
Was that Aaron Sorkin as well?
Yep.
That was what he did after West Wing, yep. Right? Okay.
Because, around that time, he also wrote The Social Network and Steve Jobs.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. What were we talking about? Oh, Strangelove.
Strangelove, right. Back to the top of the hand.
Well, Chloe, what are your thoughts on it? Are you generally a Kubrick fan? Or no?
No, not so much.
No?
Hmm.
I'm a Kubrick fan. I'll just say that.
I like him
a lot. But even so, I think this film is...
You see where I'm coming from, though, don't you?
Yeah. No. And
I don't have the patience.
Well, I'll be talking about another Kubrick movie that you'll probably have an issue with in a second. Or in a little while.
Perfect.
2001.
Yeah. Yep.
So long.
The one I'm thinking of?
Is it not 2001?
Yeah.
Oh, 2001. Oh,
it's long. It's like 2.5 hours.
Oh, dear.
Oh.
God. Ugh. I do take issue. I do. I do take issue. Good call.
That's what I was saying. That one is also long.
Oh my god, kill me.
It's 2 hours and 35 minutes.
I don't remember how long that is.
2 hours and 35 minutes.
Okay, so it is.
Yes.
It's a tad long.
That's the one with the pedophile who you're supposed to like.
Yeah, I know. Everybody's familiar with what it is.
Wait, Roy Moore?
I don't like him. Doesn't he believe in unicorns too or something weird like that? Anyway.
They all do.
Anyway, sorry.
No, but what are you on Strangelove?
This
one's only an hour and a half or so. So
I do like it. It's not one I would like. It's not like an HP for me. You know what I mean? I'm not like, I'm just going to pop this in
what
there.
What is, you know?
I know. I watched one with Megan. I watched two with Megan Mary today.
HP, there's two and a half hour episodes or volumes of that.
Yeah.
Some three.
But
that's right. Which was the 3 hours?
247 is Chamber of Secrets.
Yeah, that's brutally
long. I know
my
HP.
It is brutally long.
No, it's great. The pace is perfect. No.
Chamber of Secrets?
Is 247? Is that long?
Yeah. It's so good.
No, it is
you
long.
You don't feel really? It for a second. Oh, yes.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, because I actually like all the Harry Potter films.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like that.
No.
I was thinking of one of the Deathly Hallows films.
Those are both quite long.
Those are both 220, no. 230
something. They
both strike
in it, yeah.
No, I mean, I like Chamber of Secrets, but there are points where there's just too much plot going on.
False.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
I'm with Chloe Will on this one.
Yeah.
Okay, Brent. Take my
it didn't. It didn't Yay. Feel. It didn't feel like that.
When did you last watch it?
No, I saw.
It's been a while ago. Anytime I go back to a Harry Potter film,
watch it in one sitting. Tell me how you feel.
Anytime I go back to a Harry Potter film, it's always Prisoner of Azkaban.
Oh, same here. Yeah,
that's more of a grown-up fave. Like the kids hate it.
Really?
They
I guess because it's too dark and it's a lot of.
I think they don't like the repetition. I think they don't like it.
Huh.
Yeah, but that's my favorite by far.
My favorite is Order of the Phoenix.
That's my second favorite.
That one's pretty good, but if I was going to go for a second one after that, it would be one of the last.
I think it would be Sorcerer's Stone would be three for me. And then...
I don't know.
I like the gritty. I like the real thing. You know what I mean?
I do too, mostly. But
except for...
There is something about the first one that's kind of nice. Just that
the first one, I mean, has a certain sort of youthful, innocent charm to it, which I appreciate.
Yeah, well, I mean, the first two are both Chris Columbus, so it's that.
Yeah, well, there's also that. He did a spectacular job of capturing the essence of Rowling's books.
Definitely.
Anyhow, why are we talking about
Harry Potter? I love Harry Potter, and I bring it into every conversation.
No, I mean, because that's the kind of thing with Alfonso Cuarón, it kind of changed from Chamber of Secrets.
My keys.
Chloe has a little,
of course.
Little Harry Potter.
We're doing Harry Potter camp right now, Brayden. You miss so much. Ugh.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, yeah, I think it's definitely one of the most interesting Azkaban. And you can see a very big change from Chamber of Secrets to that.
Mm-hmm.
Then it gets gradually, like, they took everyone else, or I guess it was just David Yates. No, wait, someone else did the fourth one, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Besides David Yates. But everyone,
oh, what's his name?
Everyone was influenced more by Cuarón than Columbus in doing the latter
Mike
films.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, again, I think they were trying to follow
the books, of course.
Yeah, the general, what's the word I'm looking for, atmosphere?
Except for...
of the latter books, because they were obviously much darker than the other books.
Yeah, yeah, so. Yeah.
Oh, Mike Newell. I think this is my my Transformers moment that I mentioned. You know, the thing I mention all the time?
Dumpster fire?
No.
You saw it.
The thing I mentioned a bunch.
This is the epitome of a dumpster fire.
I don't say kill myself a lot.
No, not you. I was just saying people in general.
Anyway. No, the thing I mention a lot, because you're talking about tone matching the books, my favorite thing in the world is Dumbledore when he goes, "Harry, did you put your name in that pot on fire?" Right? And then in the book it literally says Dumbledore asks calmly asked, and I'm like, oh my god, obsessed. Everyone loves it.
It's a good moment.
Yeah. What were we talking about?
Strangelove.
Dr. Strangelove.
Or Kubrick. You're talking about Kubrick.
Oh, here we go. We're back.
Why not?
I mean, I'd say I generally respect him more than I go back to his movies, but whenever I watch one, I'm always like, this is great.
I definitely respect him, for sure.
Yeah.
But he's not like my go-to comfy, like, rainy day.
No, not his films are comfy.
No, you don't watch his films because they're comfy or fun. Well, Dr. Strangelove, I do watch, not because it's comfy or fun, but because it's a brilliant film. Actually, it is a lot. I mean, Peter Sellers is hilarious.
He is really good.
There's so many other jokes in there.
Yeah.
The one crazy general with his fluoride in our...
Yeah.
Stealing our precious bodily fluid.
Oh, my goodness.
And his name is General Bat-Guano.
Yeah.
Because he's... Because he's batshit, right?
Yeah.
He's batshit crazy.
Yeah, right.
He's stealing our precious bodily fluids. Anywho, it's a fun movie to watch. I enjoy it.
It is.
Yeah, my favorite teacher of all time, Mr. Buhacik, showed it to us.
See, I showed that to my classes when I was teaching, and you turn it on, and they go, "Oh, black and white," and you can see their eyes glassing.
Brayden, I was the only one in that whole class who respected Mr. Buhacik, so I'm sure there was a Chloe in your class.
Yeah, but
yes,
I don't think so. You should read some of the reviews of me. They were pretty
really.
Yeah, they were all
Mr. Buhacik. He wrote my letter of recommendation, like, without me asking, because it was really, you know, we were like buddies,
just like that. Yeah,
yeah. And, well, he taught, like, two of my classes, whatever, and I was in, like, his clubs and stuff like that. But anyway, so we wrote it, but I asked for
Mr. Buhacik club.
Yeah, exactly. So I asked for an extra one because I wanted to read it, but you know, you're not allowed to open them. And I read it and I cried. And sometimes, this is low-key TMI, sometimes I have a really bad day, I just like read it and I'm like, someone thinks I'm great. So that's why I like it, because Mr. Buhacik showed it to me.
Okay.
But also it's good. But that's just my memories. Because that was the first time I had seen it. Yeah, Clovo.
Yeah, I think I just saw it for like the first time maybe a year and a half ago. Because I got the Criterion of it and I watched it. Yeah.
That's crazy. I think.
Late to the game.
Yeah, actually, but I had seen most of his others before that. But,
I do take it back. I'm pretty sure my dad had shown it to me before Mr. Buhacik did. But I did not pay attention.
And and just a few months ago I saw The Killing for the first time, which is great.
I need to see that. I haven't seen that, I'll say.
Since you liked Logan Lucky, it feels like very much inspired.
Yeah, I need to see that.
Logan
Lucky. The Killing is funny?
No, I don't think it's meant to be funny.
No, I mean, there's a little humor in it, but no.
It's sort of like a caper.
And in terms of the style, because it's about a horse race that all the people go in and try and rob it while it's taking place, just like with NASCAR.
Did you ever see American Animals?
No.
Brayden, it's my favorite movie of the year so far.
Really?
Yep.
It's supposed to be quite good. I really do want to see it.
You have to.
It was surprisingly good, yeah.
What's surprising?
I mean, it's just kind of some indie heist movie. Whatever. And there's a lot of those that aren't great.
No, it's amazing. By far favorite of the year.
Cool.
Okay.
Brayden says okay, but we all know he secretly really respects my opinion. So
no, I want to. I do. I trust you. I want to go see it.
That's just what he says.
I just.
That's how he responds. But
I just don't have time to. It's funny. I work at a movie theater. I have no time to watch films.
Mm. Oh, the irony of life.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm. Yep.
Yep. Henry hates coffee.
Do you?
No, I love coffee.
Oh.
been having too much lately.
Yeah.
No, I feel like I have too much coffee all the time.
No, because I've been taking on, like, the assistant manager duties, mm-hmm. even though I'm not the assistant manager, but since that's kind of been just exhausting because it's been tacking on a couple extra hours every week and a lot more stuff to handle, you know.
That was the thing for me is I was working four shifts, you know, five and a half hours per shift before I had one longer shift on Sunday for, you know, 8 hours or something. And now 6 days a week. And as I said, I mean, if I'm there for a shorter period of time, that's 5 hours. Mm-hmm. Most of the time I'm there for a good 6 to 8 hours.
Yeah. And so, and now on Sundays and Mondays, I'm the person on call for if something happens after I'm gone. And so I'm still kind of like, so I could have to leave right now.
So you are Mr. Manager-ish?
Quote unquote.
You're
yes.
filling Mr. Manager?
Yes.
He's the interim assistant manager.
And then, then at the end of July, they'll have a decision. And then if they may hire me or they might hire someone else.
Well, don't screw it up.
I've given all I can.
Because
if you're not assistant manager at the Joe Van Gogh Timberline, I thought you said you were also interviewing for the position at the Roast Works.
No, I was at Roast Works as interviewing for the position.
Oh.
What? Man, you went to a different coffee shop?
That's some crazy
no,
shit.
No. So Roast Works is the, you know, the Sportsplex in Hillsboro?
No, I have no idea. Yeah, I know Sportsplex.
Yeah, and so the Joe Van Gogh Roast Works
is back
and
in that area.
That's where all the upper level people are. So I went there just to interview.
Ooh, what does it look like?
Just a very huge warehouse.
Is it pretty?
It's not visually pleasing, but it's full of some like, you know, you can smell a lot of coffee going in there. And so it's cool to see that.
I'm not a big coffee person.
See, that's the problem is I'd love to work in a roastery, but
I think you put in the time to
get to that point.
But yeah, I mean, it's
what? Why would you love to work in a roastery?
I think it would just be cool.
It's a cool, it seems like a cool
play
job.
With fire and burn beans and stuff. Kaylee, I mean, what's not cool about that?
Yeah.
Kaylee and I on our sloth trip are also staying in the middle of a coffee farm.
Nice. Nice.
Where
coffee
is it you're going at?
I can't remember. I really can't. I can look it up on Airbnb.
Yeah, but I mean, no, but the Driven Go Warehouse, it's a cool place to see. And
do
but
you do
yeah,
cuppings?
They do.
They do?
Yeah.
Cool.
Do yeah, what?
Cuppings.
Cuppings of
what's
coffee.
What's that?
To, like, tasting.
Yeah.
Why is it called cuppings?
Because like
you have lots of little cups.
I hate that so much.
Yeah. Yeah, so I interviewed there the other day for the second time, so
Saves.
We'll see.
Good
Where
luck.
Is this?
Best of luck.
Thank you. But yeah, it went well, so we'll know in a couple weeks.
It doesn't even say. Oh, Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Costa Rica? That's where?
Are you going?
I guess
so. How many
so.
Places are you going, Chloe?
I guess
Jeez.
Costa Rica. I thought we were going somewhere else, though.
Gosh, well, you just have to settle for Costa Rica, I guess.
No, I think we might be going to Honduras.
Oh.
But Kaylee
it's hard to keep track
Kaylee,
of all these
Kaylee's,
places.
No, but Kaylee always makes fun of me, and she says that I
Shocking.
That I am an old Honduran woman.
I don't get that.
So,
I don't know.
She just says, like...
Where is it there's a large Jewish population somewhere in South America?
Venezuela.
Am I thinking... Is it Venezuela? I thought I was thinking Argentina, maybe. Honduras, and there might be... I think there's also a large Jewish population somewhere in Central America as well.
I better go there.
So you could be an old Honduran woman.
I see where you're going. Yeah, Kaylee's like psychic, but she won't admit it, so maybe she's like... Maybe, like, feeling a past life or something.
Mm,
that sounds
And
right.
I only believe in past lives because, like, I'm so tired all the time.
Join the club.
You know what I mean? Like, if past lives exist, I think I'm, like, at the tail end.
Yeah, I've learned to live with, like, perpetual fatigue. It's not... It's
yeah,
not
I mean,
fun.
I'm tired.
Oh, you've learned to live with it? Maybe you're farther than me, then.
I mean,
I am older than you,
I'm almost in that
this
way.
This time.
I mean, I'm almost in that way. Just when you get off work, it's exhausting. And you just kind of got to go with it for better or worse.
Yeah, well, that's what I've learned is like being an adult is you don't get enough sleep. And then even when you think you're done, it's,
you got
oh,
more.
Well, now I got more shit to do. And then if I actually want to go to the gym, then I have to force myself to go to the gym. And it's not that it's not fun. It's just taxing.
It's a schlep.
It's a lot of stuff.
It's taxing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It takes a tremendous force of will to get through everything that you mm-hmm. want to get through.
I like doing all that shiz.
I mean, in a way, I like even like
and today, I have to go to physical therapy.
Today was all over the place, and I had to, you know, had to go to Food Lion twice and do all this stuff. But, I mean, in a way, I kind of like being tired at the end of the day and having done all that. But then also while you're doing it, you're like, Jesus Christ.
I usually don't get home. I usually leave the house around 7:30 in the morning, or between 7:30 and 8:30 in the morning, and then I usually get home between 9:30 and 11.
That's
a long day. It's a long day.
That's a long day.
But I do like socializing.
Yeah,
so there's some of that in there. My mom's getting a new cat called Sweet Pickle.
Interesting little... yeah.
I just drank a pickle beer a couple days ago.
Oh, yeah?
Pickle beer?
Pickle beer.
How was it?
It was good.
Disgusting.
No, it was actually good. I thought it was going to be disgusting, so I bought a can at the bottle shop. And I made...
Oh, Gemma loves the bottle shop.
I know... excuse me. I know the... some of the guys that work, you know Antonio, right?
Cool guy, my friend.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He works there, and so I know a lot of the guys who work at this bottle shop, Sam's Bottle Shop in Durham, which is just down the road from where Mary and I live. And they had a beer in there, a new beer. It was a saison by a brewery out of Saxapaha that I quite like.
I like Saxapaha.
It's pickle beer.
Hmm.
And I like saison.
Interesting.
It was good. It was their basic saison, which they use. They use yogurt cultures to sour it, and then they put in fresh cucumbers. So they didn't actually add pickles. They put in fresh cucumbers and pickling spices.
What?
Huh. Interesting.
Wow. Right. So it was almost like they were making a pickle in the beer.
That is crazy. Rather than
taking pickles and putting it in the beer.
That's like chef's table.
Mm.
But it was surprisingly good. It was not something that I would sit down and drink like a 4-pack of or something.
No. No.
It was actually,
I don't drink, so it's just funny.
I know.
I did have a mimosa today.
No, I mean, I was at...
Because of the game.
I was at Beer Study last night because Cooper was... And we had a little store going away.
I wanted to go there, but the projectors were having problems, so I didn't get out of the damn theater until 11 o'clock.
But Beer Study's a nice little, like, local hangout for college students. And, yeah, everyone was beer drinking bros. But me, but it was okay. It's just entertaining to watch people get drunk. So.
I hate it.
I mean, sometimes it's not good, but lots of times, like, people would just kind of act funny.
That's what I'm giving up right now to be here. Because otherwise,
I'm drinking.
Yeah. Otherwise, I would have gotten up, worked out, and then I'd be sitting at home having some beers and watching Luke Cage, probably.
Brandon, you got to just start bringing your beers with you.
No, I don't want to drive back from Hillsboro.
Oh, fair. That's fair.
I do want to go to the Mystery Brewing, which is right behind you.
Oh, it's a cool. Yeah. Which
one's that?
It's right down the street. Yeah,
it's a brewery right behind them where the Hillsboro barbecue place is.
And there's the frozen custard place.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's turned into a huge little area.
It's a little place over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where the auction house used to be.
Right.
When my mom worked there.
Yep. And there's a barber down there too.
You've got the ABCs.
You've got alcohol, barbecue, and custard.
And barbers.
Yeah.
Double B.
ABBC.
That's what you say after you've been to Mystery Brewing Company.
Yeah. You don't know where you've been.
ABBC.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, anything else about Dr. Strangelove?
Well, I'm curious as to why Chloe is not white.
I like it, Brayden.
No, not the strange stuff, but I'm just curious why Kubrick is not. You don't put Kubrick up in the pantheon.
Do you appreciate his movies more than you like him?
No, because it's fine. It's just like everybody I talk to, like all the movie geeks I talk to, are like, Kubrick, woo, you know.
We'll see.
I like Kubrick.
Am I like all the movie curious. Fanatics you talk to?
No.
This is true.
Well, even I'll say I'm a Kubrick fan, but I'm not someone who's like, oh, this movie, amazing. I mean, and like, I understand why people do that.
Is amazing. Clockwork Orange is really spectacular.
Clockwork Orange is
He's Barry done a lot of great movies, but I don't always connect with them.
2001 is spectacular.
Exactly.
I don't like 2001. Okay. Clockwork Orange is definitely my favorite, but is I also really like the book.
Really?
That seems like it would be the opposite for you.
Yeah, why? I would figure that. Because
it's a great movie.
Really, it is twisted, great movie, but strange, dark kind of thing.
But very relevant even today.
Agreed.
It's a great piece of work. It's the same thing. I'm not going to sit down and like paint my nails and be like, "Hey, friends, come watch this." Actually, I used to do that a lot.
Time for a little ultraviolence.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a great movie. It's probably my favorite of
all. Have a nice tall glass of milk.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't drink milk. I'm lactose intolerant.
Well, there's that.
I drink almond milk. Gemma calls it nut juice, and I don't like that at all.
Ew. I can't.
It is nut juice, love of basically, God. But...
Never repeat
that's
that.
That's what macadamia milk is. Yeah. Almond milk.
Okay, macadamia milk is great, though, but not...
I like almond milk. I'll buy a big thing of it and sit and drink it. But anyhow,
I do too.
Not nut juice.
Is it that you simply, is it, like, what is it, you and Kubrick, what is your relation to Kubrick? Is it that you don't like him, or he's not your favorite director, or you find his films a bit...
Definitely not my favorite director.
And why?
Okay. This is a good question. This is how I will frame it. So, there are a lot of books I read or was supposed to read, I didn't really read most of them, for class throughout schooling.
Mm-hmm.
And they're terrible. And my parents will say, but they're, like, important. It's like Jackson Pollock, too, right?
Like Jackson Pollock.
Important. But, like, then put it in history class, not English class.
Okay.
You feel me a little bit?
Sure.
It's not the best example.
I mean, I agree. I mean,
I don't know. I mean, it's... That's a tough one.
I'll say I'm very glad I've seen all of them, and I do appreciate him, but, like, it doesn't feel my... I don't
they
feel,
feel
it.
Like
I
mean, a relic that they don't necessarily, it's not something that really resonates with you.
It just doesn't, yeah, we don't speak exactly the same language. But I totally get it, mm-hmm. obviously. But yeah. It's not so much that it's a relic, because I really like a lot of old movies.
Okay,
but,
fair enough. Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of the same, I mean, I like all of his movies, but they definitely don't connect with me for the most part as much as other directors do, even though I see this talent and skill in his films.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, I guess there are certain directors that the film doesn't. I mean, Strangelove connects with me because that's where my interests lie.
Mm-hmm.
But that aside, he's just such a masterful filmmaker that
totally.
Even if I don't like, I watch Barry Lyndon and it has nothing to do with my life.
Right.
But it's still such a well crafted film. It's like going. It's like when you go to a museum. And you look at a piece of art and you go, oh, it's like the 50th baby Jesus that I've seen.
Yeah.
And it's like an entire gallery of, you know, Spanish painters who have done nothing but, you know, baby Jesus in the 15th century.
Jesus.
But there are still, you can look at all of those artists and there's still certain artists that you will pull out that are, you know, like
right.
El Greco keeps popping into my mind, right?
I usually have to go to the expressionist section, and I don't feel a thing, but I do get what you're saying.
Mm.
It's just certain artists, even if their subject matter is not necessarily something that you would normally, this is meaningful to me. This is, I feel simpatico here. Mm-hmm. It's not like that, but something about the way in which they craft their pieces resonates. Mm-hmm. It has some sort of link, some sort of
yes.
communication.
The biggest possible accomplishment, really, for an art form.
Yeah. And I feel that with Kubrick's films, just the way in which he crafts his films, I find so enthralling.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though, you know, 2001, Barry Lyndon, Clockwork Orange, I mean, his films are just all over the map.
Yeah.
The Shining, and his films are just all over the map, but he does such a spectacular job crafting each one.
That's kind of how I feel about Fincher. I mean, who takes a lot from Kubrick, especially.
Yeah.
Even if I don't connect, or even if I'm not familiar with that world, I still connect with it incredibly for some reason. I don't know why, but...
I like Scorsese.
Yeah. And
Scorsese a lot, too, yeah.
And Kerry-Jordi Fukunaga, even though he's less...
He's
more like a producer now. He doesn't... Has he done anything?
He's doing a show, right?
He's doing that show with Emma, whatever,
Emma
and Jonah
Hill
and Justin Theroux and Emma, whatever.
Is that
going to be
on HBO or Showtime
dating.
Or something?
Netflix.
Oh, cool.
What
sure.
show is this?
I
can't remember the name of it, but it's a crime show, right?
No. Well, it looks, it's like futuristic. I don't freaking know.
Yeah. But
it's futuristic, Michigas, I can't tell you.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mine was fake, but I felt left out.
I actually am tired. I still have to go to the gym.
I'm sleepy, yeah. All right, well, let's... yeah, I got to go in at 7 tomorrow, so... All right, well, out of 5 stars, I'll go 4.5.
I'll give it a solid 5.
Whew.
I go 5 and then give it whatever
and
is left
beyond.
Over that you guys you gave it what, 4.5? No, you gave it 4.5.
Excuse
no,
me, I gave it 5.
I gave 4. I went 4.5.
Well, I give it 5.5 because your leftover half star I'm taking.
You go you go 80 million. You know?
I can do 4.5, so you can have 6.
Okay.
Yeah, there we go. Evens out. All right, well, not
I give it 2,876 James Earl Jones in a bomber.
Yay!
Hey, there you go. Yeah.
See, it's fun, no?
Yeah, well, All right, well, not much news, if I'm not mistaken. No, not many trailers, not much going on, really.
I was intrigued by the trailer for Blindspotting.
Yes.
I'll say that. I saw that before the film. It could be either really impactful and spectacular.
Or a complete kind of
train wreck. Or a complete train wreck.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see what happens there.
Have you all been hearing the reviews for Mission Impossible?
Yeah.
No. It's been like insanely incredible. Good.
Really?
It's being compared to...
People are obsessed with this.
I mean...
Being compared to Fury Road, and it's
really?
Like... Yeah, it's getting huge buzz.
Really?
Huge buzz. Yeah.
Really?
Huge.
Huge.
Huge. Yours sounds like a lightsaber.
But no, I'm dying to see it. Of course I love Tom Cruise, but still.
Was it four or five?
Four and five,
because this is MI6.
Right? Correct.
So,
yep.
Four and five
MI6. Six.
Actually, no. I'm sorry. Three, four, and five were all spectacular.
Yeah.
One was okay.
Although it's dated now at this
two
point.
Two was,
no.
It chagrins me to say, an absolute disaster. Dumpster fire.
Dumpster fire.
Which is a shame, because it was John Woo, and I loved everything that John Woo did when he was in Hong Kong. And then he made this. And then he also made the mistake of making Broken Arrow and Face Off.
Oh, God.
Yep. But, yeah, he had his little Hollywood hiatus, which turned disastrously bad. I don't know what happened
there. As it often does.
Yeah. Anyhow, but yeah, 3 was spectacular because it was the most sort of intense spy thriller thing.
But Philip Seymour Hoffman
was so good.
Like the gun scene that they have. That's like one of the best scenes. So good.
And I actually liked Billy Crudup as sort of the crooked agent. Crudup.
Kudrup.
No, it's Crudup. It's C-R.
C-R-U-D-U-P.
I call him Kudrup.
Crudup.
Anyhow.
He asked out my mom.
Who hasn't?
He worked at Playmakers. He was at Playmakers and he asked out my mom. But she said, oh,
Billy
God,
Billy Crudup your daddy?
Nope.
No? Okay.
Probably not.
You should get a DNA test.
Yeah.
But my dad, trust me, has done. Not like in a weird way. Not like in a Jerry Springer way. He's just like weird about that stuff.
Okay.
But it is what he's a geneticist. So.
Yeah. And then Ghost Protocol and Rogue Nation were...
Yeah, both of those were spectacular. Very, very well written, very taut spy thriller, intense spy thriller type things. And I thought they did a really good job, you know, combining action
and it's all and pretty much all practical. I mean, Tom Cruise.
Yeah, Tom Cruise.
Foot.
His strange proclivities aside, he's a decent actor, and you know it's
he's a great movie star.
He's a
good
actor.
Kudos to him for you know putting himself out there.
I wish he would do more
stunts.
Good roles again, though. No offense, that sounded demeaning.
Go back to
more, I understand what
Rain
you're saying.
Rain Man, I love Rain
Magnolia.
Man.
Magnolia, Eyes Wide Shut.
I love Rain Man. You don't like Rain Man?
Days of
it's
Thunder.
It's okay.
Brandon. Jerry Maguire's where it's at. I live
He was
for
really
Jerry
good.
Maguire.
He was really good in Jerry Maguire.
I used to ask to watch Jerry Maguire every day when I was little.
What was the one he got his... The Big Easy? Was that where he got his break? What was it he got his break on?
Oh, The Hustler?
Huh?
The Hustler?
No. Yes, he was really spectacular in that, though. Thank you for reminding me. No, the one that he did, Risky Business.
Oh, Risky Business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I don't know why that wasn't coming to mind.
Top Gun.
Yeah.
Miles Teller? Are you kidding me? I hate him.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Oh, do you know? In the second one, is it the son?
Mm-hmm.
He's playing the son of Tom Cruise.
Miles
the
Teller.
Second one?
Their second
they're
coming
making
out.
A
oh,
sequel.
Oh, they're making a sequel to Top Gun.
How stupid is that?
Pretty freaking dumb.
Pretty freaking
I love
dumb.
Top Gun, but yeah,
I'm glad you said something I could repeat. Pretty freaking dumb.
Then again, I might be eating crow because I wasn't sure how Blade Runner 2049 was going to turn out.
No, that's exceptional, Brandon.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. I can't go into Top Gun 2 with any preconceptions because the first film, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. I like it. I think the first film is really good.
Yep. Tony Scott.
And yeah. And then you've got this next one coming out, which you don't see any point to it, right? You don't see the point. Because the first one was sort of an all-inclusive film. It hit all the points you needed. It was a good script. And then the story was self-contained. And so there's really no point. I'll only be satisfied if in the second Top Gun... Val Kilmer comes back as Iceman.
He is coming back.
Is he?
Yep.
Awesome.
Is his son in it?
I don't know.
I don't like his son.
I don't know.
Jack Kilmer. But I do like names that do that.
Hmm.
Huh. Interesting.
You know what I mean? Jack Sposa. Kilmer?
No. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No.
Jack Kilmer. It's like all one thing.
Jack Kilmer.
I don't know.
We don't know where the first name ends and the second name begins.
Yeah. Exactly. Cool. All right.
Well. Like if your name was Braden Nelson.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, well, I guess we can move on. Since we did kind of double up, no mail this week, but we should have some next time. So I guess we need to do our picks of the week. I think I only have one or two things, so
thank God.
I rewatched. Oh yeah, I had a bit of a laundry list last week, Bryn, or the other day. But I rewatched Patriots Day, which directed by Peter Berg, who actually has a new film coming out in August that looks all right. But I'm excited that it's Peter Berg. But this one I do like quite a bit, despite it being about this recent event. In a way, it's kind of like Stronger, where I think especially what...
Oh, is that the Marky Mark movie?
Yeah, what Peter Berg is able to do with Deepwater Horizon and Lone Survivor to some extent, but I think especially with this, is make it both an entertaining movie, but also very...
Like, sorry to bother you.
Yeah, a film that also pays respect to the event and doesn't really feel at all exploitative of that.
Hmm.
And in the way that Stronger did, it kind of feels... It's personal and, you know, it doesn't matter if it came out 6 months right after or 20 years after, it still kind of has the same effect. But and Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross did the score. Great score. But yeah, very good movie, and you should watch it even though it is about
Patriots Day.
Patriots Day, yep.
Okay.
Yeah, very definitely worth watching.
Brayden and I are not going to watch that.
What's it about?
I should say.
I was talking just generally. we are talking.
That was more to Brayden than to you.
What is it about?
It's the Boston bombing.
Patriots Day.
Yeah.
Oh, huh.
I mean, it's about the chase to get the bomber.
Oh, right. As opposed to...
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yes, Chloe. But no, yeah, it's...
What's the name of that movie, Henry? You just said it.
Stronger?
Stronger.
Yeah.
No, he's trying to come up with the actual name of the guy.
The name of the fellow who lost his legs in the Boston...
The real guy.
I get it. I just don't know the name.
Okay. No, but so this is... Where Stronger was the one about one of the guys who was affected by it. This is about the bigger story. But
hey, poor phrasing. We'll excuse it.
And Brayden, you see what I've been dealing with. So this one's more about the chase and kind of about all the logistical and the overarching story, I guess. But yeah, quite a good movie. And very well directed, and he's definitely a very interesting director. He feels like a more grounded version of Michael Bay, in a way. He's able to take action movies, but make them much more grounded than Michael Bay does, so.
Are you still looking for it?
No, I found it, but these touch screens are so picky, and I'm trying to...
Yeah, and I guess since we just did a few days ago, I think that's... Oh, I did rewatch Lolita about 2 weeks ago, which I hadn't seen in a few years. And it's quite good. I mean, it's a very creepy film.
Mom,
who else is in the original Lolita? Kubrick.
I can't think of the actors' names, but
Peter Sellers is in it. I know.
Yeah,
but I can't remember who plays Humbert.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. But it is. I mean, of course, a very creepy story about a guy who and a girl who are like a very young girl, underage girl.
A man and a girl.
Yeah, yeah. Like a 40, 50 something year old guy getting involved with
God damn it. Yeah, I'm trying to close an ad, and every time I press the close buttons, for some
your
reason,
your fingers are too big.
Probably. I got big...
No. Brayden, turn it sideways. Turn it the other way.
I found out Jeff Bauman was the name of the fellow that was the actual person that the film Stronger is based on.
Ah, yeah.
So.
But, yeah, it's about a guy who gets involved with this underage girl... Or at least I think she's underage. And
yes,
it's about their...
She is. Yeah. Very underage.
All right. Jeez.
She's a child.
Yeah, and so it's about their...
So it's about Roy Moore and his run for the Senate in Alabama.
Yeah, except it has a happy ending, basically.
Yeah.
Well, so does Alabama, because Doug Jones won, so...
Mm.
Yay, Doug Jones!
Yeah.
So.
No, I mean, he has a... I mean, never mind.
Yeah, it's a... But
you mean, like, Chinese massage parlor happy ending, or...?
I don't know what that means.
Anyhow.
Yikes.
But it doesn't shed the light I would... I'm out.
I mean, despite its creepiness, it is still a very entertaining film, and it's very well made and well acted, and the chemistry between everyone is great, and it's still very complex, and it's... I mean, it's, of course...
It's not that complex.
I mean, in terms of what it's tackling, I think, and...
It's not that complex.
And... Let's just wrap up the show now. So, I mean, it's not 2001. It's just, it's interesting. More,
I'm saying it's
I'm not saying it's not super very complex. Gray. Correct. Correct. So, it's entertaining. It's too long. It's 2 hours and 35 minutes. Too long. After a while, I start to fade out.
I think it's 2 hours and 35 minutes too long, too.
Sure. Some people have said that, sure. But... Interesting film, nevertheless. There you go. I'm done. Chloe?
Yeah.
I watched...
Next time I'll avoid the bad jokes.
No, it's okay. No, it's okay. That's not... What was... Yeah.
Huh?
Nothing.
Can I go now?
Go say what is in your heart.
Okay.
Speak your truth.
Thank you. So, sorry to bother you. Reminded me of a movie I saw actually at the Chelsea. And I had to sit in the very front row in the corner because there were only two seats left in the whole theater.
What's that?
In a World. Written, directed, and starring Lake Bell.
Yeah, that was a brilliant film.
It's a great movie. And it kind of reminded me because it's kind of a satire. It's very feminine. Yeah. Loved it. I
haven't seen that.
Rewatched it. It wasn't
a surrealist satire.
No, not
surrealist.
It was
just a straight up satire. But it was so good. It was very good. Yeah.
Great movie. And then I watched Hannah Gadsby's special Nanette on Netflix. She's in Please Like Me, as you may remember, I love. And then I watched Harry Potter History of Magic, the documentary, and it was very illuminating.
Where can we find that?
Blu-ray
of that thing? 4K?
I just watched it on TV.
What channel?
BBC?
Okay.
I'm not sure.
I'll check it out.
I didn't really look.
All right. Brad? I mean, you talked about a few things already, but...
Yeah, I've mostly been... There were a couple of really good things that came out on Netflix, I think, back-to-back. I forget whether it was week-on-week or if they were both on the same day or something. But Luke Cage Season 2, which I've been really enjoying. Really spectacular, really interesting. And Glow Season 2, which is really, really remarkable.
I would really like
to. Topically.
Check that out.
Sorry, my dog is like slamming its head into the door.
Henry, it's almost over. Just to end it.
So, those are really the only two things that I've been watching lately. And I'm done watching Season 2 of Glow. And I'm almost done with Season 2 of Luke Cage. And I'm hoping something else interesting comes out on Netflix soon. Because I don't really have TV.
Yeah.
And actually, right now, it's in a dead zone, TV. There doesn't seem to be anything out right now. I don't know what's going on.
Brayden, same! I have been in a rut for like 3 weeks. It's like my longest time ever not finding a new show to watch.
Well, it's like a lot of things ended, and now, horrible. I mean, it's like TV wasteland. Preacher Season 3 is out.
Yeah.
And that's one thing I did watch.
Yeah.
It gets weird. Did you see the...
Well, I know I read a little bit of the synopsis of the comic on Wikipedia, and it goes into some really dark, strange places.
Yeah.
Season 1, I thought, was really well done. That was one of my other picks of the week. I got that on Apple iTunes or whatever.
What was it?
Season 1 of Preacher.
Oh, Preacher, yeah. I've seen the pilot.
A few weeks back, and watched it, and I really liked it.
Mm-hmm. I thought you'd seen Preacher a long time ago.
No.
we talked about it a few times, but
yeah, I've mentioned it because it was something that I always wanted to see.
A while ago.
Well, Season 1 was spectacular. Just the actors are so good.
Yes.
The Irish guy, I forget his name.
Yeah, he was on a show called Misfits.
Was he?
Yeah.
Huh. But he's really good, and of course Dominic Cooper and Ruth Negga, who is just
amazing.
She was so good and Loving, and
she's
good in
everything.
Totally fell in love with her when she was in Loving, and then I just love her in Preacher. She's just, her character's awesome. She's great portraying the character. So Preacher Season 1 is good, and I'm looking forward to probably, you know, just outright buy Season 2 sometime in the near future.
I saw 4K for the first time in my life, I think.
You mean like
the World Cup was 4K?
Huh. Did you watch it on a 4K TV?
I don't know.
Then you didn't. If you didn't, I was at a bar. Actually, see. Oh, yeah. If they didn't have a 4K TV, it doesn't matter.
Oh,
yeah.
Never mind.
That's the whole thing. That's the thing. But anyways, all right. Well, I guess that about brings us to the end of the show. What a day it's been.
I like France. I'm not saying they won or didn't win. I'm just saying I love France very much.
Yeah. If there are any French listeners, let us know.
Yeah.
Email us.
Bonjour.
Yeah. I keep trying to remember what the words are for the French national anthem.
And so, I guess
the Marseillaise.
I don't know.
Yeah. So next week, you love France.
I do love France, yeah. But I'm not a nationalist in any sense.
So next week, Chloe, we talk about the film Hot Summer Nights, which is
speaking of Clockwork Orange. I'm just pissed that we missed out on yet another final in the freaking World Cup.
Whatever.
The Dutch. Clockwork Orange.
I got it. I'm over it.
Yeah, yeah. And so, kind of, it just depends on...
My fake arch nemesis is Dutch, so...
Mm. If the film is around here, we'll figure out if it's on Amazon. I'm not sure how it's going to be released.
We're watching it.
But if not, we'll figure
what
out some...
What movie is this?
Tumute!
It's this movie that she wants. It's Hot Summer Nights.
Thank you, Henry.
I think it's A24.
I appreciate you listening and respecting my...
You're so welcome.
...wants and needs.
You're so welcome.
It is A24, yes.
Yes, okay, yeah, and it's... It should be opening this week, but I don't know if it's going to be around here yet, so we'll figure it out. If not, we'll find someone else, you know. And I guess we will probably keep on the same schedule, maybe, depending on if you're...
I have to get off work again, but I will.
Okay. So maybe next Sunday, or, you know, a week from today. But we'll figure it out. We'll keep you up to date on Facebook and Twitter.
Facha Libre.
Filmbudspodcast@gmail.com is the address you can reach us. Send us your email.
I was going to send the Marseillaise.
Yeah, rate us on iTunes if you want.
No, it can be the outro music. Don't worry. He'll get it.
What music?
The Marseillaise.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Bye.
All right. Well, Brayden, thanks for taking the time, as always.
Brayden's lost his mind.
Brayden,
it's the French national anthem. It's awesome.
Yeah. Brayden, it's good to have you back. And he's not listening. He's listening. His mind is in France now.
I'm off in the glory of France or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chloe, thanks. Thanks as always.
Thank you.
Croissant.
We hope you enjoyed it.
Duck à l'orange.
I've never had that. I ate a pigeon by accident once. Not a whole pigeon, obviously.
Or did you just, like, pick it up off the street?
No, we were in a...
Just snatch.
We were in a really fancy restaurant.
Too fancy, clearly.
Yeah. It was one of those restaurants where I dropped my spoon, and I went, oh, Gemma, and already there's no one on the table. I said, holy crap, magic.
Fancy restaurants.
Yeah.
Speedy stuff.
There was a helicopter pad there. That's how fancy it is. Whew. Yeah.
It's to lure in the pigeons.
Got pigeons and helicopters, everything. Okay.
Pigeons and helicopters.
Best restaurant of all time. All right, well, we hope you enjoyed as much as we did, and we'll see you next week. Un chant d'un mur abreuve nos sillons. Nous entrons dans la carrière quand nos aînés n'y seront plus. Nous y trouverons la poussière et la trace. Jaloux de leur survivre, de partager leur cercueil. Nous aurons le sublime orgueil de l'évangile.